the Lord's church is to make disciples, is to reconcile, as God has reconciled us through his Son, Jesus Christ. You do know that if Jesus hadn't come to this world to die for our sins, we would die in our sins. And the Bible says, if you die in your sins, where he is, we can't come. We can't be, because God hates sin. Anybody got any sin in their life right now? Lord, have mercy. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, if the blood of Jesus Christ is not covering your sins, then you still are in your sins. And that's why we discussed how one becomes a disciple, because once you become a disciple, the blood of Jesus Christ keeps cleansing us. Oh, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to be a disciple. But the word disciple means a learner. And so once we are baptized into Jesus Christ and we are washed our sins away, it don't mean that we are in heaven yet. That means that we still yet have something. God has a purpose for us on this earth. We do know we have a purpose. God didn't just make you to get up and work at Exxon. God didn't just you came to this world in order for you to start your business to make some money so you can be happy. That's not the end. Our existence on this earth is just our beginning. But God wants to give all of us eternal life, a life everlasting. And so once we become a disciple, God has a purpose for us. And that is to make other disciples, because there are a lot of lost people in this world. There are people that are in sin and know it, and there are people that's in sin and don't know it. And Jesus came to reconcile us, to put us back in favor with God. That's what the word reconcile means, to put us back in favor with God. And God did it through his Son. And he says, be reconciled. First of all, us to be reconciled. And then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is trying to win others to Christ and help them to become disciples. But sometimes I don't know if we really understand the benefits of discipleship. And maybe perhaps that's why some don't grasp it and don't say that I want to be a disciple, because they're asking the question, what's in it for me? And I'm going to try to, I wish I had time to cover all the benefits. Just time will not allow. I selected a few. One writer wrote this. He said, only those who understand the benefits of discipleship will accept the cost of discipleship. And see, then that's why I think people stay away from trying to serve God, because there is a cost. Yeah, there is a cost. Yeah, there is a cost. And sometimes, you know, motivational speakers, they give us a lot of hype. And they tell us, yeah, you can be rich. Everybody can be rich. But they don't get a cost. And everybody sign up on the dotted line. I want to be rich. Well, I don't want to be rich. But then what do you have to do to be rich? And that is a cost. But when we understand the benefits, then the cost, boy, you measure the cost and you see the benefits, the cost is minor compared to the benefits. Let me give a few, if you will, this morning. Everybody all right this morning? Some of you look like you need a hug and some love this morning. Amen, somebody. Wake up this morning. Amen. Number one. One benefit, not in priority, but just disciples, learners get closer to Jesus than the crowds. You notice in Jesus' ministry, he attracted crowds. And you know why he attracted crowds? Because he was helping folk. He helped folk. He healed people. He healed the sick. Sometimes I do in my naivety. I wish I had the power to heal people like Jesus did. Now, I know there are some on this, even now, that say that they have the power to heal. And you look on their buildings, they say a healing service. I'm not talking about the way men do it today. I'm talking about to touch somebody and they blind and they can see. See, you find one of those healers, please let me know where they are. Church, don't be naive. You're watching by way of television. Don't be duped by everything. Don't be so green and naive. Find somebody that healed like Jesus, like the apostles healed. Let me bring you the blind man to heal. I don't want you to pick him out. Let me pick him out for you. Amen, somebody. Well, Jesus drew crowds. Listen to Matthew 13:36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." Now, this was his 12 disciples, apostles. But it possibly could have been more, as you'll see in just a moment. But disciples get closer to Jesus than the crowds. Crowds follow Jesus all the time because of what he did. But his disciples got an extra measure. Jesus would teach sometimes in parables, and people would be listening. They listen because of what Jesus did, but they really didn't understand what Jesus was teaching. Now, I know they didn't understand because his own 12 apostles didn't understand. And when they got him by himself, they said, "Jesus, what you said that, but what really did you? Would you explain that to us?" Well, disciples get closer. Listen to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. And this is Jesus doing his ministry. He was healing and he was drawing crowds. And sometimes he got tired. And he told his disciples, this is 12, he told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. Now, and the crowd surely didn't get to see what they were about to see. This is the instance, if you read it before or after, this is the instance that Jesus actually walked on water. And we know Peter saw him. We know those in the boat saw him. I don't think the crowd got to see this one. And crowds see number two, talking about benefits. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you get to see. Yeah. See, that's why we have to continue to be learners, because there are some things that you learn about Jesus as we grow and as we study that open our eyes. It gives us more faith. It gives us more faith in what we believe. And if you are not trying to learn about Jesus, you won't get closer. You won't know what you need to know for your faith to grow. Let me see if I can give you an example. I'll ask you a question. Do you think it would drastically increase your chances of success if you could work closely? Let's say you wanted to be a tennis player and you were a female. Do you think it would drastically increase your success if you could work out for a year with Serena Williams? You think that would help you, young ladies? Oh, my goodness gracious. Listen, see, you can work with a coach, but coach might know something, but you think Serena knows a little bit about playing tennis? Yeah. If you wanted to be a business owner and you wanted to start a business, do you think it would help you a little bit if you could meet weekly with Bill Gates? If you wanted to be a basketball player, do you think that you can learn something from Stephen Curry's workout? If you wanted to play golf, would you want to play with Tiger Woods? And I know it sounds simple, but we can't hang with Jesus. Jesus already died, but Jesus left so much for us. And a lot of we're trying to be a disciple of Christ, and we don't know enough about Christ. Amen. And so I don't, I just see. I'm trying my best to get closer and closer. And you read about you read and study Jesus and study his daily activities and his habits, we would be closer to Jesus. Amen. And I know some of you, some of us is real smart. We said, Brother Gary, you know, well, everybody can't be close to Jesus. You're talking like the crowds now. Everybody can't be. We said, don't you worry about that. You don't worry about overcrowding. Don't worry about, for you know, everybody can't be, because it won't be any crowds. There won't be any crowds. See, and even you look at people who excel in secular things in this world. You look at people who have achieved great levels of success, and there are many folk are not willing to pay the price that they pay. Amen. So don't worry about the crowds. What you need to worry about is your discipleship. Amen. Listen to the Bible in John chapter 6 and verse 66. Listen to this. Don't worry about the crowds. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. As a result of what, Brother Gary? Jesus was teaching. And see, a lot of people followed Jesus because of his miracles, because of what he did. And I would have been right there in that line. He did what? I'm following him. But when Jesus started teaching his principles, and started teaching his doctrine, and when people really started listening to, whoa, I got to do what? And you read the rest of John chapter 6, he says, I'm the bread of life. And he was teaching them that you must drink my cup. You must eat my flesh. And he was actually saying to them, you must discipline yourself. You must dedicate your life to serving God. Listen to John chapter 5. Go back one chapter. We were in chapter 6. John chapter 5 and verse 36. And a lot of folk don't want to pay the price of discipleship. Amen. And if you don't pay the price of discipleship, you will not experience the benefits of discipleship. He says, but I have a greater witness to John. This Jesus was some of his teaching. When he said, as a result of this, many disciples withdrew. But I have a greater witness than that of John. That would be John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. He says, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish. He says, the same works I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And that the Father himself which had sent me had borne witness of me. Ye have neither need. He was talking to the disciples. He says, you've neither heard his voice at any time. You haven't heard God's voice, nor seen his shape. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he had sent. But ye believe not. He's reprimanding them. And then he goes on to say, search the scriptures. Notice this. He says to them that are following him because of the healing, because of what he was doing, he says, search the scriptures. He was telling them, look here, all of the scriptures speak of me. Amen. And it's the same thing to us. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. Yeah. Jesus can teach a man how to be a better husband. Oh, he can. Oh, yes, he can. Yeah. That's why the Bible says, for husbands, love your wife, even as Christ. All you have to do is to watch how Jesus treats the church. What he's done for the church. How he's sacrificed for the church. How he's patient with the church. How he loves the church. And that's why I say, a man, if you watch Jesus, it'll help you to stop being so bitter and cranky to your wife. Yeah, sacrificial. Lead. Yeah. Yeah, and so there's so much Jesus can teach us. And so don't you worry about overcrowding, because a lot of folk don't want to accept Jesus' teaching. Yeah, and you can get closer. Yeah, you can get closer as a disciple. And the closer we get to Jesus, the more we see, the better we feel, because our faith builds, and it builds, and it builds, and we start saying to ourselves, this works. I want to do this. Yeah. Number three. Well, let me before I get to number three. See, because benefits. The more you get to see. Disciples witness things. Disciples witness fervent prayers to the Lord being answered. Disciples, you see, disciples see fervent prayers to the Lord for, like I mentioned earlier, I don't have the power physically to lay hands on anybody, but disciples see prayers that heal the sick. Yeah. And you know, some of us, some of us have been in the church, I don't know if we believe that the prayers of the righteous avail in much. But you know, disciples that pray, I remember it's been some time ago. I don't know if she's in here right now, but I remember some time ago, I remember Sister Bell called me one night, her daughter, and I've said this before, her daughter was sick unto death. Sister Betty Bell, many of you know. Her daughter Vanita. And I mean, she was sick unto death. And she called, and she said, "Well, Gary, she says, it's not looking good. Please come and pray." Amen. And they already been praying. The whole church been praying. And we prayed at the hospital. We got in a circle with all of the family. We held hands. And we prayed as a family. I went into the room, and Sister Betty was there, and we prayed, and the doctors, they just gave them all of the to get ready. Vanita's still living today. And I know, I'm not saying, but you prayed. No, it wasn't about me. It was about the prayers of the righteous praying to God. And see, now, in some things you won't experience, you won't know about. Amen. See, when you're closer to God, Lord have mercy. Disciples witness the healing of conflicted relationships that yield to the will of God. Amen. Disciples do. Learners do. Oh, no, they don't have no hope. Outside of Christ, they don't. See, sometimes the only answer is being a disciple. To two people whose personalities are just they're clashing and they're fussing and fighting all the time. But when one somebody or two something, now when both people say, listen, you know what? We're going to obey God. We're going to do God's will. And yes, many people go to the divorce court, but I have witnessed, you have witnessed couples who yield to God and they're still together. Amen. With God's help. Yeah. Disciples, we disciples get to see things that others don't see. And others, you know, was called, well, I hear what you're saying. I know what you're saying also. Amen. Your disciples witnessed the prayers of the righteous answered. Listen, as requested by God. We've prayed many times as leaders, as deacons, as elders, as men in the room praying about things that the church sometimes don't even know about. We praying around the round table, asking the Lord fervently to guide us, to lead us, to direct us, and we've seen it come to fruition. Yeah. Number three, disciples experience things that the crowd don't. Yeah, disciples experience things that the crowd does not. And when I use the term crowd, I mean, see, I'm not talking about, you know, sometimes it is the world. Sometimes it is, but sometimes the crowd is right in the church. Yeah. Sometimes the crowd, you know, don't you want full benefits? You know, I want the full benefits of being a Christian. Yeah, I want all the benefits. I want the insurance. I want the 401k. Yeah, and I want the matching funds. Yeah. You want to experience the joys of being a Christian. You want to experience as a young man, you know, you struggling, young lady, you struggling, you in school, and you struggling, you trying to live right. You come to worship service, you come to Bible class, you pray to the Lord before you eat your food, and you're reading your Bible, and you're trying to memorize scripture, and you want to experience, you want all the benefits. And you're trying to get closer to God, and you pray to God, and you see God answering your prayers, and He's on your side, and He's taking care of you.
Amen.
And you just make sure you give God all the glory. See, that's something. Go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. Matthew 14, 15. When it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, now these would be His apostles, this place is desolate. The hour was already late, so send the crowds away. These, you know, on several occasions, crowds followed Jesus, and He said, send them away. He said that they may go to the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, He said, it's time that they need to eat, Lord. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.
Amen.
They said to Him, to Jesus, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And He said, bring them here to me. Verse 19, ordering the people to sit down on the grass, He took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, He blessed the food. Breaking the loaves, He gave to them, the disciples, and the disciples gave to the crowd.
Amen.
Now, what would that have done for your faith had you seen what Jesus did? Yeah. They need to feed. That's 5,000 people now. 5 loaves, 2 fish. What would that have done for your 5 loaves, 2 fish, and they just breaking the loaves, breaking the fish, cutting the fish, and putting them like, man, where is this stuff coming from?
Amen.
Know where it came from? Jesus. Yeah, you ever heard a term people use it? Says nothing but the grace of that's God at work.
Amen.
Some people still don't give God credit for when things like that happen. Notice this though. The crowd didn't even know what was happening.
Amen.
All they knew is that they were eating.
Amen.
They didn't even know a miracle. They didn't know what was going on. They knew that they were eating and they got food. Sometime in the Lord's church, God is working. God is operating. And if you are not close enough, if you are not informed enough because you're not close to Jesus, because you are on the fringes, because you are just getting by, you don't get to see the faith.
Amen.
You don't get to see the miracles.
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing to know that this would not be happening yet but for the grace of God.
Amen.
And the goodness of God.
Amen.
Yeah, I love to hear some of the stories. You know, I love the history of this church and how great men and women of God who exemplify great faith in sacrificing, in prayer. You know, it's amazing how we can pray a prayer in public. And sometimes you can let the church know, listen, we need this. We have an issue. We have a problem that's going on. And we pray about it. And somebody, because God touches somebody's heart, God sends somebody to answer the prayer. And individuals of great faith who've laid it on the line, who've mortgaged things, who've sold things, who've contributed things, whether physically, mentally, spiritually. And it's nothing but the grace of God.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're careful to give God all the glory. And they sitting there eating and they got full and they just eating away. And I don't even know. I wonder did they even thank anybody. Yeah, we come in here, we sit in these comfortable chairs. These chairs are. Sometimes they too comfortable.
Amen.
You sit in these comfortable chairs and this nice building. And screens up on the wall, and we just say, this is nice.
Well,
it's nice. But it cost something, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And you see, one of the benefits of being a disciple, a learner, a true follower of Christ, is we share with one another. We share the struggles. Yeah, we share in the struggles. Notice, it's one thing when you're going through something, but boy, I tell you what, it helps when you're going through it with somebody else. Yeah, we share. That's why when people die, see, one of the greatest strengths, some of us have experienced it ourselves. We lose a loved one, and it's cutting, it's hurting. But boy, one of the greatest strengths is when the church family, see, when you're a disciple, and you say what you will and may, this is just the truth. See, when you're a disciple and you are giving your life to Christ, especially when we're in the body of Christ, God makes a way for even your pain to become joy.
Amen.
But even your struggles, Brother Allen prayed a prayer, and I know, hope anybody, nobody was not offended because he didn't remember your name. God remembers your name, don't he? But you felt his heart, though, didn't you? As he called out names of those who are widows in the Lord's church. And I know that they're struggling. They call each other. And they try to encourage each other. And thank the Lord that they have somebody to encourage one another. But they are still here. They're still faithful to the Lord. And that's on this side. That's not on the other. That's why we're living today. We're talking about the benefits of discipleship. And the more we serve for God, the more God takes care of us while we're down here. And it's not that, you know, especially a church this size, you know, some of us, we don't know. But see, if you see, the closer you get to God, God take care of you. But you know, but if you want to stay on the fringes, you can stay on the fringes. It's all our choice. And we know everybody have different lives, and we all can't be involved in everything. But discipleship is about us growing and learning, and you get connected to the body of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah, God gonna bless you.
Amen.
Yeah, God gonna bless. Some benefits it's hard to describe. Some things we can't tell you because you think we bragging.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. God can give you money. Remember the law.
Yes.
Yeah, God can pay your bills.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about the benefits of discipleship. I wish I had time to tell you how Paul was taken care of, although, and often he worked, but sometimes he didn't work, and how God always came through for him. Yeah, yeah. Listen to this. I'm going to end with this one. Disciples get extra special treatment.
Amen.
Extra special. I want to elaborate on it, what I just said, a little bit more, but I don't want to. Because I want you to see the benefits. Sometimes we want everything tangible. We want, well, how is this going to benefit me? Am I going to be more healthy? Am I going to get more? Am I going to have more? See, most of the benefits of being a disciple are spiritual benefits.
Yes.
See, because and as we get older, we learn how to value things that are like peace. You ask a young people, what do you want in life? You ask a young person, what do you want in life? Well, I want to make it, bro, Gary. I want a nice car and a nice house. You ask somebody this 50 plus, what you need in life? Peace. Ooh, Lord, we've been there. I want me a nice, fine girlfriend. You don't know, that's gonna kill you, boy. Woo! Oh, Lord, have mercy. You get old enough, you don't even want to, I don't need no woman, I don't need no man. be bad all by myself. Disciples get extra special treatment from the Lord. Go to John chapter 17. I'm sorry, I gave Brother Rick the wrong passage this morning. Matthew 17. I meant John 17, 11. This is Jesus. He was giving this dissertation to his apostles, his personal 12 apostles. And he knows the cross is right before him. But he gives something to us while he's giving it to them also. He says, I'm no longer in the world. He's just telling, he's there with them, but he says that the time is coming. And he's praying to the Father. He's praying to the Father. And yet they themselves are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name. That's what he's praying. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful for you to know that Jesus is praying for you? Yes. he says, keep them in your name. Then he goes on and says, the name which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are. So he prays for them. And he prays that for us. God wants us to be. Jesus says, you don't understand this now. See, if you don't read the Bible, you won't know that Jesus right now is making intercession for the disciples. Jesus is trying to make the way to ensure that we get to God. And he does that for the disciples. Look at verse 14. Drop down to verse 14. John 17. I've given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. See, the disciples, you know, we sing the song, this world is not my home. Now, the disciples believe that. Disciples believe that. You can tell when somebody not a disciple. Because, I mean, you know, just how much money you need? How much money? How much you trying to make? What you going to do with that money? You know, I'm tell you what you're going to do. You're going to make sure you're comfortable, right? You have some nice place to stay, nice car, some nice clothing, right? And then you're going to put some saving in a bank, stock fund, account or whatever, and you're going to feel good, right? Yeah. That's all you got. That's it. And you, guess what? Let's say you have a $4 million house right now, but you're in here right now with us. Nobody don't know it but you. unless you want to invite us to your house so we can see your house. You see how naive, you see how empty, you know, and then while we're gone, while you're in church, somebody break in your house, steal everything you got. You see, when we put our hope in stuff, you know, cars, and they get old and you don't want it no more. And that's why he says, they're not of this world. And people don't understand that sometimes. And I'm not saying that we want to go to heaven today. You know, Jesus said, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. God, I mean, it's the Christian life on earth is a good life. It is. I love fellowshipping and talking to my brothers and sisters, and I love being with my wife and my family and my kids. I love doing things God's way and watching how God can bless you even on this side. Amen. Than being a crook. Than lying to folk and cheating everybody. Stealing from folks. And paying the price for it. Amen. And he says this. Listen to Jesus. Verse 15. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. It's good for me to know that Jesus is talking to God and saying, you know, God, now they need to stay there. Because there's work that they yet have to do on this earth. There's too many people that's lost. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world because there's other people that God is concerned about. But notice how he's giving this special prayer for his own. He says this in verse number 18, As you sent me into the world, this is our charge. I also have sent them into the world. And so don't be so heavenly bound with no earthly good. That's to us now. That's not in the Bible, but that's what he's saying. In other words, see, we're not trying to have a secluded Church of Christ club where we say nobody else is saved. No, that's not what God put us here. God wants us, when we go on our jobs, to understand that we're here. He's sending us out in the world, remember, to reconcile those, to live a life, an example before individuals, to tell people about Jesus. But he's praying, why we do it, Lord, don't let none of them crazy people, that people that's out in the world, that's evil, that want out to get your blood, take care of them. Amen. Don't let our naive, don't let none of our sweets, don't, Lord, these sweet sisters who pray and read their Bibles, protect them from these rotten, no good men who would prey on them. Amen, amen, somebody. Amen. And if you came to church this morning to pray on somebody, God, get it. Or her, excuse me. Then he goes on to say, for their sakes I sanctify myself. That's why I set myself apart. That's why I sacrificed the way I did, to be an example, to be a model, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Then verse 20, to us. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Thank you, Lord. That makes me feel good. That the prayer he was praying for his 12 apostles then at that time who walked with him, the prayer he prayed for them, he prays for us. Prays for us every day. That when I go out the door, I know Jesus. He got me covered. He's praying. He's talking to God. God, take care of him. He's getting old. His health is not as big good. And be careful, Lord. Take care of him. Don't let none of these creatures fall. Lord, be with him. He needs you, Lord. Yeah, he be careful. Yeah, take care of him, Lord. And then Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, I'll end. Therefore, if he's able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him. And that's us. Since he always lives, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father right now, to make intercession. That's that special treatment. Amen. Notice that you get as a disciple. Anybody need somebody to pray for them? Lord, every single day. If you hear you're not a child of God, there are great benefits in being a disciple. You need them. But you really want the full benefits. Next week, Lord says the same. We have one service. And we're going to talk about the life of the disciple. The life of the disciple. Because there are great benefits in being a disciple. And I hope you will want to be one. Our charge is to make disciples. How does one become a disciple? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you believe with all of your heart, for without faith it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that is a reward of those that diligently seek him. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell your neighbor to accept, unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And if you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. God adds us to the body of Christ. We become a disciple. We become a lifelong learner of him. And he says, be faithful unto death and he'll give us a crown. He'll give us a crown of life. Anyone who wants to be a disciple, wants to be added to the body of Christ, you can come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Have you?